got a surprise for you now. We got Marv Albert right here live and in person. Marv Albert is the voice of the Knicks, the New York Knicks, New York Rangers, which is hockey and basketball respectively. No, not respectively, backwards. The New York Knicks play basketball, the New York Rangers play hockey. Marv also is the voice of the New York Giants, which is our crybaby football team. Marv also is a sports reporter on WNBC-TV, Channel 4 here in New York. And Marv is hanging around up here while I miss in the morning doing a monitor show, and asked begged me to put him on the monitor radio network. And reluctantly, I've agreed to do so.
Hello, Marv. And I just wanted to stop by and see if you're the same for the national audience as you are for the local New York audience.
And what?
And I've noticed you've changed your style.
I still play Edith and everything.
Yeah, you look terrible, though.
I don't feel well, Herman.
And you've been subdued the last couple of days. Of course, I know other people may not be aware that you are subdued as compared to other times. But you look terrible.
I'm on drugs, Herman. Actually, pain pills. Marvin is a sports authority personified. And Marvin, is there to comment on Hank Aaron? Hank, I understand it is 27th homer tonight.
I would like to throw a trivia question at you.
Anything you would ask me about sports, Marvin, I would know. Give a math down. We'll get one with it, please.
Don, this, if you correctly answered this, I would definitely run out and buy you a cup of coffee.
All right, ask me the question.
Who is, and this is a name that at this moment around the country, or later on tonight, will be very well known. Who is Robert Winburn?
Robert Winburn?
I'll give you a clue.
Robert Winburn is the pitcher that served up Hank Aaron's 700th home run.
You know, that is probably the stupidest answer that could have been supplied to that question. Absolutely unbelievable.
Who is Robert Winburn?
How can you take a wild guess like that?
Well, what was I supposed to say?
Well, you know that Aaron faced the Phillies tonight. You know, in that you're well aware of all the major league rosters. There's no one by the name of Robert Winburn.
Well, Robert Winburn was the umpire then. He was a catcher. That's right.
Who is it? He is the young man who is a freshman at the University of North Carolina who caught the home run ball that was hit by Hank Aaron for number 700. He will go down in trivia annals as one of the greats, along with a fellow by the name of Sal Durant. Who is Sal Durant? You're a little
Sal Durant.
Lighten up your show.
Sal Durant is the guy that caught Babe Ruth 614 home run.
614?
714.
714. Wrong. He is the guy.
Why are you doing this to me, Marvin?
Roger Maris is 61st.
Roger who?
Maris. Fellow who hit 61 and
I know that
clumps of hair because of the nervousness and leading up to the pressure pack moment. But Robert Winburn will be a household name following tonight and wanted to enlighten people.
Who cares, Marvin?
If you had answered it correctly.
Do you think Hank Aaron is going to break Babe Ruth's record this year?
No question about it. In fact, he has to be super cool. The guy is not bothered by the pressure at all, which is incredible.
You really would think he would be.
He seems to be hotter than ever.
Well, I heard Hank Aaron say that he thought that it was the pressure would be on when he got down with about 10 home runs to go. That's what he personally said.
You do read the sports page.
Yes, I do, Marvin.
This is one of the most literate conversations I've ever had with you.
Marv Albert, you've done basketball on the ABC network, so there are some people around the country who possibly would know who you are, but not very many. Marv, I want to thank you a lot for stopping by. I can't tell you how thrilled it is. We now have, I'm now going to talk with Geraldo Rivera, who is only half Jewish.
I'm up in the morning.
Geraldo Rivera is a newsman in New York.
Well, he's kind of an unusual newsman. He's a cross between, he looks. He's a cross between David Cassidy and Ricardo Marvelbon.
Oh, God. Please don't
wreck how well. Geraldo is part Puerto Rican and part Jewish. And I don't want any of you to be scared. They're in Kansas or Mississippi. Because he's not going to get your daughter or anything.
No horn.
He was an attorney for
a street gang in the South Bronx. That's pretty accurate.
Well, among others.
Oh, yeah. And then he decided that that wasn't working out because he wasn't getting much done, so got a gig at for ABC, which is another network as opposed to NBC. And became very successful. Exposed the tragedy of mental retardation facilities in New York. Initiated a program called One to One. And, why don't you explain what One to One is? You explain it better than I did.
Well, it's just that after we did the basic exposés on Willow Brook and the other institutions for mentally retarded, it was painfully apparent to everybody that the conditions were so bad and that the government of the state of New York was so slow in cleaning them up and correcting them that change had to come from outside. So after the things were on television, after everybody was outraged and people wanted to be mobilized, really, and to help in the changing and alleviating of the misery of the retarded people in the institution, we had the idea to give people an outlet, give people a chance to really participate in the business of changing the care of the retarded. So One to One came about. It was in several parts. We just finished the second one. But the component parts are interesting, I think, because it really shows the direction and the philosophy of it. First, there was a festival in Central Park here in New York, and the point of the festival was to take the children out of the institutions to give them a day in the sun, a day outside the gray walls of those horrible places. And we brought last summer, about, it was around 12,000 retarded kids into the park, and for each retarded child, there was a volunteer paired off on a one-to-one basis. So each kid had a special friend to be with them all day long. So they were matched on a one-to-one basis. That contrasted to the care that they get in the institutions, which is really care based on a ratio of one attendant for maybe 150 retarded kids. So the kids received personalized care for the day. They had the day in the sun, and that philosophical point was made that the retarded deserve the same kind of personalized care as normal kids do.
Yeah, didn't take a psychiatrist to take care of them. Just regular people with love and compassion.
Good care for the retarded people.
Right, that's the point that was made, but then you have to realize the very pragmatic side of it. It's fine to make that philosophical point, but how do you then go about accomplishing that end? How do you accomplish that result? And the only way you do that is with money. So we had a benefit concert in Madison Square Garden to raise some money to get kids out of institutions and into places where they could be cared for on a one-to-one basis. And the concert starred John Lennon and Yoko.
This was last year's
concert, the first one-to-one concert. And Stevie Wonder and Roberta Flack and Shana Na. And with that, we raised lots of money, and we opened up, we already opened up two of the small homes to get kids out of the institutions into small brownstones in neighborhoods where they could be cared for in a very personalized way. And there were something like eight more in various stages of completion. Because it worked so well last year, we did it again this year, as you know, because you played so active a role in it. We had the festival in the park again, and instead of 12,000 kids, we brought in 25,000 mentally retarded kids, paired them off again on a one-to-one basis. We had the concert again, you were the MC, the garden was packed, it was great, John Denver,
Judy Collins,
Bill Withers, Richie Haven,
Sly Stone showed up,
and they were all there. It's really great, made $180,000, and then the next night we had the telethon here in the New York area on television. We raised another $500,000 with that, so we anticipate another 20 homes opening with this year's activity. The whole point being, I mean, the reason for my involvement is television people, media people, have to be concerned with much more than just watching what's going on and reporting it. They have to become involved in the reality as well as reporting from a distance.
We'll talk a little bit more to Geraldo. Geraldo's going to have a show on ABC on the White World of Entertainment segment at 11:30 Eastern Time around the country, maybe 11:30 every time. We'll talk about that in a second. I am Finus in the Morning. On the planet.
plane, and we are still talking with Geraldo Rivera.
He just joined us. Geraldo Rivera is a New York newsman that looks like either David Cassidy or Ricardo Montalban or both.
You've been afforded the opportunity to do some marvelous things in the area of exposing ills in our society, and at the same time have become sort of a matinee idol with girls screaming and chasing you.
Why is that? Why do they do that?
I don't know why they do.
Why do I love you?
I didn't think you were going to talk about that. There are theories. One theory, I think the one that I subscribe to, is that for so long, TV newsmen have been kind of faceless creatures wearing trench coats and speaking in deep voices, the voice of doom, and reporting things that they just really could care less about in terms of their personal involvement. You know, just TV newsmen, you know, someone at some network figured out that a TV newsman has to be this cold and plastic object, and it's just, and it's, they were all basically middle-30s, Midwestern accented, but educated in Northeastern schools, and they're just very narrowly drawn. I mean, they just didn't represent the diversity of the American people by any means. And that kind of coolness and aloofness is, I think, why people never were really attracted to or could identify with TV newsmen before. I certainly look different. I think that's probably one of the main reasons.
The show Good Night America, that'll be on now, July 30th, features not only the series you did on the site of the market farm workers, and you're also going to have as your in-person guest, Cesar Chavez. The show is not all totally serious. There's going to be a history of the Beatles.
Right.
A 12-minute history of the Beatles. It was put together by, who was the guy's name?
Chuck Braverman. He did the history of the world in 3 minutes.
Remember that thing on the Smothers Brothers show where they had a thing that flashed real fast and it was like, oh, you guys was on dope? Well, he put together this history of the Beatles, and there's some film that's never been shown before.
Right, we have clips from the Four Guys' private collections, and we have clips from England that's never been shown here before. We have clips that have never been shown anywhere before, outtakes of movies, plus a lot of still shots that have been animated by Chuck.
And then a profile of Miss Carol King. How did that come about? And I understand you're doing an interview with her.
There's an interview in it, right. She doesn't give interviews too often, but she's a New Yorker, basically. She just recently went on a cross-country concert tour. One of the stops was back here in New York, so it was kind of a homecoming party. It was a free concert in Central Park, and about 90,000 kids showed up. The music was good, and there was plenty of time for her performing. It was a big, big deal. The great lawn of the park was just covered with wall-to-wall young people just sitting there, you know, drinking wine and really listening to her music. We talk about the Queen of Rock and Roll, but that's really how I think Carole King is Queen of Rock.
I always thought Little Richard was the Queen of Rock and Roll.
The last segment of the four is an update of a special I did recently on infants who were born addicted to heroin because their mothers, while pregnant, were shooting up with dope, and the heroin passes from the blood of the pregnant mother into the fetus, and the fetus becomes just as addicted as the mother is. And so when the kid's born, it goes through heroin withdrawal, just the way a full-grown junkie does. It's really a horrible thing to watch, and the reason we're updating it is because it's changed in the last 8 months since I did the original story on infants born addicted to heroin. The medical community, at least in L.A. and New York, has begun to organize and address itself to this problem. They just really didn't know about it, and they really didn't even know how to treat the kids. It was something like 94% of the kids were dying before from the tremors of withdrawal, from the diarrhea and the vomiting and the symptoms of withdrawal. And since that time, they learned that they can treat the infants the same way they treat grown-up addicts, with phenobarbital or methadone and detoxify. You know, as I'm telling you these things, Don, I think, you know, people must be wondering how you can have these four really crazy, diverse things in one show.
Yeah.
The only analogy that I can draw is that in the days of Life magazine or Saturday Evening Post or even Time magazine, now Newsweek, when you start on page one, there's one kind of news, the hard news that's breaking the country then. But then as you flip the pages, there's a people section and an art section and a legal section and reviews. You know, it's a magazine that happens to be a broadcast magazine. It happens to be going out over television, but it is a magazine. And all things in life aren't heavy and profound, just as all things in life aren't frivolous and happy. There's a mix, you know, people experience a wide range of emotions. Magazines cover a wide range of topics. We're trying to bring that form into the broadcasting business. And, you know, there's just a nightly news program. When you think of the people, just flash through your mind the personnel of the different nightly news programs, and plus the fact that they only have a half hour, the country really isn't being covered. I mean, the news is being covered. The headlines are being reported. That's it. There's a great, you know, there are great movements, social movements going on. There are great inequities to be exposed. There are great fun things to be shown, entertaining things to be shown. And that aspect, the reality aspect of it, really isn't being covered by television. Television has to become more responsible. They just pander too much. With the resources, the vast resources that the networks have, they really don't do enough in terms of news and public affairs or lifestyle.
How about Monday Night Football? Dandy Dial Hour.
Of the soap opera. You know, it's just not enough.
I am on this in the morning on monitor, and we are talking with Aurelio Rivera. Aurelio's show, Good Night America, the Second Generation News Magazine, will be on ABC around the country July 30th. Good luck with the show.
Thanks.
And thank you for coming by.
Thank you.
Would you like to go enough books on marijuana?
It will
be edited out.
In the morning.
Yes, Marie, Mom. Down and down. Get back.
I'll kick you.
When night is bad, more luck than me. Popping in the conveyor, sitting in a tree. Look for an answer, try and find a sign. Until I saw you, did you like? Honey, I was blind. Get back, won't forget. Baby, get back to the world. But I'm reading those days, and I'm reading them ways, and I'm
washing rumors of illness
aging Argentine dictator Juan Perón appeared in public with his doctor for the first time in months, proved that he was in the pink of health and could in fact run for the upcoming election. Doctors examined El Leader and said that he appeared much like a wax figure burning the candle at both ends. Reporters on the scene presented that their flippancy and demanded to examine Perón's wit.
I'm up in the morning.